The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Pastor Mike, good afternoon. Welcome to Man in Line this Monday lunchtime, the 1st of December, 2025. It's an open line today, so the floor is yours. Whatever you want to talk about, call 66 13 68. Text or WhatsApp at 166177. Email studio at manxradio.com. A note in from Hugh, who said, Andy, have you heard about the suspected outbreak of blue tongue virus in Northern Ireland? Is that going to affect the Isle of Man at all? We'd heard about it. We're just trying to find out whether that's going to affect any movement of cattle, because the suspected cases were discovered in two cows in Bangor in County Down. And their Department of Agriculture, Environment and Rural Affairs, they're investigating the situation. There is a control, 20-kilometre temporary control zone around it, so the movement of cattle, sheep, goats, deer, llamas or alpacas, excuse me, is restricted. But we'll see if that has any effects. It's something we're trying to check. Thank you, Hugh, for prompting us on that. Always good to hear from you. And let's get to the phones. It's Peter with us first today. Hi, Peter.
Oh, good morning. It's Peter Murcott here. Your news item actually has heralded what I'm going to talk about, and that is this new phenomenon that's come into the island, which is called religious literacy. I must admit, I've not come across it before, but it seems to be the old former multi-religious syllabus under a new name. It's an impossible thing actually to attain to, because it comes really from this new education amendment bill that they're putting through tomorrow. One of the clauses amends the existing law. Now, the existing law is extremely unsatisfactory, and they're now going to make it more unsatisfactory. The existing law talks about religious education, I suppose the word instruction, being wholly or mainly of a broadly Christian character. Now, it's very difficult to say exactly what that means in practice. They're now going to amend it to be broadly Christian character. That begs the question, right, does that mean more or less Christian? But what do you do if it's broadly, it's not wholly Christian, so what do you do for the rest of the time? In addition to that, to this new phenomenon just called broadly Christian character, they're going to give a discretion to introduce other religious and non-religious philosophical convictions and beliefs. Well, I should have thought that there must be thousands of those around the world. I haven't a clue what they're going to do. But it's not even, leave aside the fact that it's in complete conflict to the standards that the House of Keys sets itself every time it meets, and by which I mean they say the Lord's Prayer and they recite Psalm 67, God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us, that thy way may be known upon earth and thy saving health among all nations. Well, they pray that they want God's way to be known on earth, and then they come up with broadly Christian and other religious and non-religious beliefs all encompassed by this new phenomenon called religious literacy. And quite honestly, I think they'd be better leaving well alone if that's the best that they can come up with.
What does broadly Christian mean when it's at home, Peter?
I haven't a clue. I remember when they borrowed the wording from the 1988 UK Education Act. Why they've got to keep going to Britain, I don't know. It's a phenomenon that actually has manifested itself in a lot of other areas where they're taking on board things that are happening in Britain. I remember when that was introduced in 1988, a legal expert in the Department of Education said it would take some grappling to understand it. Well, they grappled with it, And they came up with an explanation that it didn't necessarily mean it would be Christian at all. You could have other beliefs as long as a Christianity had a sort of particular focus, or perhaps the main focus. But again, you're playing with words, because you're diluting it to wholly or mainly and broadly. So you're wholly, mainly, ever broadly. Now, I don't think the best lawyer in the land could give you a definitive explanation of what that means. So it's, to my mind, when you talk about it being broadly Christian, you're really saying that you don't want Christianity there. That's got to be, because it's so nebulous, especially if you're going to have, and remember, there are thousands of religious and philosophical convictions, non-religious. I mean, there must be thousands of them around the world. How are you going to be? How are the children going to understand all those?
So, what's
the syllabus going to be?
What do you think they think they're trying to do?
I haven't a clue. I've been pondering on that for years. I remember back in the 20th century, they said the aim was for toleration. Well, they started bringing this sort of idea. It started coming up in some parts of Britain in the 1970s, and the buzzword was toleration. Now, we had many decades of so-called toleration, and we've now got one of the most intolerant societies you could imagine, especially as far as Christians go. And I can justify that statement by the fact that there's two major Christian bodies that have been a lot of their remit is actually to defend Christians who are being very wrongfully treated, you know, either dismissed from their jobs or being prosecuted or sued or goodness knows what. And that never used to be. So our tolerant society is very intolerant of Christianity. And the word actually has no meaning. It's just like this much-repeated word, the so-called inclusive society. When you dig down and drill down on it, the inclusive society only includes a narrow range of options and attitudes. Everybody else doesn't count. And it's this sort of vague language is always the language that leads to really a very intolerant society, and eventually a very dictatorial society, which we've got, or we're heading towards. So,
what would you like them to do, Peter?
Oh, I'd like them to go back. Either, you see, I was head of a church school for 13 and a half years. I can tell you that with the best will in the world, in practice, when you're running a school, you only have a very limited time for religious instruction, because you've got so many calls on the timetable, and it's very difficult to do justice even to Christianity, let alone anything else, because of the constraints of and because of the realities of running a school. So I would like them, quite clearly, to go back to do one of two things: either to carry out what they will be praying about tomorrow before they consider this bill, about that thy way may be known on earth and thy saving health among all nations, which means Christianity, or ditch it. There's no, you can't, there is no such thing as a wholly, mainly, or broadly Christian or anything else. And you've got to ask yourself, what are you trying to achieve? And I'll tell you the one thing they won't achieve, because the tolerant society was never achieved. This religious literacy is just a catchword, and I don't wish to be disrespectful, but it will turn out to be a meaningless phrase which people will admire, but when they drill down, they'll find it, quite frankly, means nothing.
Okay. All right, Peter, we appreciate your call. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Good to hear from you. And Frank's with us now. Hi, Frank.
Hi, Andy. How are you doing, mate?
Very well, thanks. What's on your mind?
Right. You were talking the other day, well, somebody, and there was a big video put on with they reckon what is happening with the erosion up the north of the island anyway.
Yeah.
And quite honestly, you've not been given the true facts. I mean, Charles Gard, you must think he's a superb hero or something. He's an expert. He's not. I will give you some examples. You were talking about that cottage, which is opposite me on the edge of the cliff. Well, the farmer that owned that, he panicked and he said, my farm, he said the farm was going to go into the sea. So he built the house opposite on the main road, on the main coast road. There's a big house opposite. That was 79 years ago, and it's still here, his cottage.
This is by the Cronk, isn't it, Frank?
No, it's next to my house. At Killane.
Oh, right, yeah, just
the
up...
The one on the cliff.
Yeah, up the coast,
on the cliff.
Yeah, yeah.
That's been there 79 years since the farmer left it, because he said it was going to go into the sea. It has lost some stuff. And then you got Mr. Kelly coming on, who was not giving you a true story. He was saying that it was losing about 2 or 3 metres a year. That's absolute rubbish. It hasn't lost a metre in 17 years to my... Because I'm looking at it every single day. And he said he would build a house. Now, the reason he's not building a house now, because he put in planning permission to build a mansion on the property, and they wouldn't pass it, rightly so, because it was not in keeping with the area. And if you want to build a house like the same on my property, you've got to pull down the house to build another one. But it can only be the same as the one that you're pulling down. It can't be bigger.
Now, are there any... Because I know you've got some rock armour around by your place as well. Is there much rock...
No, there's no rock armour up at Kelly's place. He's not put in... But that would solve his problem. He said he's having trouble with the government. I don't know why. They wouldn't stop him putting some rock down at the front, and that would help. Like, for example, my house... The rock has been on 45 years, and I've never moved an inch. So it's all bull that they're giving you about this erosion.
But, I mean, there's certainly erosion at Coat Michael, isn't there?
Yeah, but that's not where I am.
Yeah.
So as far as I'm concerned, in my house, it solved the problem, if you can believe me. It's been there 45 years, all those rocks.
Right.
And done properly, because it's a 25-foot sloping down to the sea. The rock finish done like the harbour in Douglas. You know them big things they made in Douglas.
Oh, crikey!
Very similar thing.
We're not talking about little pebbles where you are. I mean, how big are those rocks?
No, some are as big as cars. You know, the huge, massive things they are. Some of them, not every one, but there are some big ones. And there's thousands and thousands of tons all the way around the property. And that has solved the problem as far as erosion is concerned, because the rocks, you've been to my house, and you know them rocks on the top that you can see at the top? They were put there on purpose, and the man that did it in 1981, which is 45 years ago, he told me those rocks were put on the top in case it sank. And there you can add more, but it hasn't moved an inch. So it must be either on bedrock or down on the bottom. And this floating piece of, clay that Charles Gard said, there is clay there, but I don't believe it shakes like a jelly and then it all falls down. And like he was showing you videos of all this stuff was falling down. That wasn't a true video of that either. Because I've been watching it now for 17 years, and I've been there in the property. And we do lose a bit every now and again, but not the amounts they're talking about.
Mm.
And if you go behind my property, going towards Peel, nothing has dropped down for 45 years. And nothing at all.
Right.
Because my rocks have obviously pushed the stuff further up north. So it's pushed the work. And sometimes the sea does come in. We've had a couple of, I suppose you call them hurricanes, or we call them now. But we've had some really bad weather come there. We had some about 5 years ago. And it took a piece of land off my neighbour next door. But now he's got rocks there now, but he should have put it before the storm, not after the storm.
So that's the solution then, Frank, is it? Rocks?
It's not a perfect solution. It just depends where you are. But if you put enough rocks down there, it would solve the problem as far as that property is concerned you're trying to protect.
Right. Do you need permission to put rocks anywhere? Would anybody need permission to put rocks? Because it's basically on the beach, isn't it?
No. Yeah, but remember, I own the beach.
Oh, okay. Right.
Because I own the width of my property. It goes down to the high tide, I think it is, but we own that. So they can't stop us putting rocks on our own property.
Right. How do you get rocks there, by the way? Because they're huge. How do they get there?
Yeah, we just deliver by truck from the quarry and dump them with a digger or something to lift them on and off or whatever, just tip them over the edge or whatever. But Mr. Kelly, you see, he's a lot higher up. It's quite a high cliff. He doesn't need to put the rocks all the way to the top. He'd only have to put them a certain...
Right.
Well, no more than 10 or 15 foot, because the sea doesn't go... It's not that high. So it's just a bit of protection you get, and that would help the property.
Right.
But as I said, that property that Mr. Kelly owns, it's been there for 79 years, and it's not gone into the sea, which the farmer said it was going to.
Okay.
In 1947.
Frank, we appreciate it. Thanks for that. Thanks for the instruction. Thanks for the opinion as well. And if the owner of the property wants to get in touch, just to tell us what the plans are, then by all means do get in touch. And David's with us now. Hi, David. We'll find David in just a few moments' time. And I think we've got Robert with us. Hi, Robert.
Hi, how you doing?
Very well, yes.
Public sector housing. How long have we had this administration, poor fella?
Nearly 4 years, 4 and a bit years.
4 years, and how many public sector houses have we built?
Not many.
Well, that's not good enough. I want an announcement.
You're making it.
Well, I think we should have more public sector houses. I think that the Lord Street site is a mess. I think that as I'm down at Grye now talking to the people who are basically bums, we need to have more public sector houses up in Peel and places like that so that people can apply to them. When I spoke to Dr. Allison last week, he didn't even know where the public sector houses were being built out in Patrick and Peel and places like that. So he should have his finger more on the pulse, shouldn't he?
So whereabouts in Patrick are they?
Well, it's mostly green. So you think of Glen May, you've got plenty of hills up there off the bus route. I mean, it's a good place. It's a nice place to be. You've got, as you come out of Glen May, on the left and the right-hand side, you've got flats, fields. They could be built there, both on, I think it's Gordon and places like that, if we can get that far. And it should be built on there, and they should be having more public sector houses. I think they should be built to the betterment of the local community.
Well, when we've talked to commissioners around the Isle of Man, they're quite keen to get more public sector houses built, but obviously they have to borrow the money from government to do most of it.
At a preferential rate, obviously.
Yeah.
But yeah, I agree with you there. I think we need to move ahead with that as soon as we can. It just seems to be the government where public sector houses just doesn't seem to affiliate itself to any type of launch or anything like
that.
How
do you stand on tower blocks, Robert? What do you think about tower blocks?
Tower blocks?
Yeah.
They're very high.
Yeah.
I think we should, in terms of the ceiling limit?
No. I'm talking about in terms of public sector housing. I mean, obviously, we've got a tower block. We've got a big block of flats at the top of Peel Road, but there aren't many. And obviously, you can get quite high density properties in a tower block. Do you think tower blocks will be a good idea?
As long as they're soundproofed. And obviously, people have to get along with each other. So it's good to have a back channel on WhatsApp so that people can talk to each other and stuff like that. There will be spats, and there will be people who don't like each other in their flats and stuff like that, and people who don't get along with each other. But I think it comes down to oiling the hinges and things like that and getting the doors sorted and stuff.
Okay.
The fire doors are very, very thick up in the flats, up in at the top of Peel. So yeah. I agree with you. cow blocks, not so much the ones they've got in the UK, but the ones on Peel Road seem fine enough. But I think that was private investment, wasn't it?
Well, it was a joint thing, wasn't it? They're Douglas Council, the Douglas City Council flats. But I think, if I'm right, correct me if I'm wrong, it was Dandara who built them, I think.
Yeah, I think it was a three-way. I think it was a private investor who put $6 million in and recouping it back on a private land deal.
You've got your fingers on the pulse.
Well, there was something down there that happened, and then we're wondering whether or not there's going to be roadworks outside that building that's going to muck it all up, because at the moment it's quite pleasant and green and stuff down there, and I really enjoy it.
Okay, all right. Robert, good to hear from you. Thanks for being with us today on that, and I think we've found David now. Hello, David.
Hi, Andy. Can you hear me, mate?
Yes, you're on the blighted line three just then, so we're just kicking the machine.
Lovely on that. I listened this morning to about the Treasury Minister, Mr. Alsing, and I didn't get enthusiasm from him about the MyCards, and I was disappointed with his reaction to it. And I'd love to find out why, what sort of examination he had with the Post Office and Treasury and all those officials regarding the MyCard, because it was the will of Timmel to do something about it and create it again. Okay, they're doing it for 1 year. But why aren't we looking into the Post Office as a saving organisation locally? I mean, we probably do own the Post Office as such, indirectly fund them. Somebody's going to come on and say they don't. But if they make a profit, we take the money off them and put them into the general kitty. So why aren't we doing that, where people would invest in the Post Office like we used to do when we were kids years ago? And the likes of Conister Bank. I remember getting a loan out for Conister Bank for a car and paying it off and going down to the Finch Road there.
We never hear much about really what the Post Office's plans are for the future, apart from the fact that obviously fewer people are sending letters and Christmas cards, but they're making a fortune on delivering parcels all the time now.
Yeah, and why aren't we doing something about it? Why isn't there some bright Stu, I'd love you to get him on sometime. And then I know he's a bit this way and that way, and the rumour is he doesn't want to care about the Isle of Man anymore, so hopefully he'll come on and say he still cares about the Isle of Man, and if he doesn't care about the Isle of Man, he needs to move on, doesn't he, really, before the election. And we need to do things ourselves as a community there. But I just thought when the Treasury Minister came on this morning, it was okay. There are still something like 600 people still got my cards there. But 30 of them came to the thing. Well, how many out of those 30 wanted to go to a bank? Why can't we have both?
It's interesting you're saying that we as a community need to do something, but you don't hear very often sort of bold suggestions by government as to what we can do. It's almost as like we're a bit timid about what we can do in the future, David.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what the worry is. I mean, people would love something to be done with all the estates that we've got, all those. I'd hate to go through them again. We've got the old prison site, Summerland site, two pubs, and whatever. Why aren't we doing something about it? Robert was on before about housing.
Yeah.
We have a number of local authorities. Give them the land, and we'll provide or get the finance through central government and get some developers in and build first-time buyers for people, and then some sheltered accommodation. I'd love to build another one in Onchan or find the land for that. They're sitting, like I said, when I said the other day, they're sitting on land at the back of Doughty's there in Onchan and up at the old gas plant there, owned by, under custodial from the government there. But why don't they just say to us, we've asked them, and I'm going to say something naughty now, but we do have what we call Ballacurn Trust in 2nd Avenue in Onchan, right? Out of those 16 or 20 units that are there, there's one occupied. There's only one person in it. We've accommodated everybody else, and we've asked, can we not run it? Can we not own it? Can we not fill it for people that want housing?
And what did they say?
We're still waiting for the answers.
Okay.
It's like these... We've had a tentative answer, but we still haven't had a big answer. Maybe some of our politicians could ask the questions, why aren't we doing something about it? Mm-hmm. And are they happy to have 16 or 20 units lying empty when people want them?
All right, a point. Thank you. We're not going to get into trouble, are we, over that?
No, I never get into trouble. I live here. Okay. And even if I go to Derby, are they entitled to one call a week?
Yeah, yes, you can call Man in Line. Thanks, David.
See you, boy. Bye.
Cheers. Now, it's 29 minutes before one. It's Betty with us now. Hi, Betty.
Hi, Andy. I just want to... Yeah, I have said before I'm an atheist, but I just want to agree with Peter about the spread of different religions in the schools, because I think this might be the thin end of the wedge. We are still supposed to be a Christian country, and I'm really happy that mostly Christianity is very tolerant and doesn't, not aggressive like some religions are. And I'm worried that there is a spread of some religions in this country which are less tolerant and less favorable to women. So I would like the religious in schools to be... to go back to what it was originally.
The trouble is, whenever you talk about religious, and Peter mentioned the word religious instruction, RI, and lots of people get very kind of aerated about the fact that that's basically indoctrination of children.
Yes.
So how can you have religious education without it being religious instruction?
Maybe we shouldn't have religious education in schools at all if we're going to indoctrinate other religions.
Yeah.
But I definitely want to keep Christianity as a major religion in the Isle of Man, because it is, as I said before, it's not aggressive. It's the most tolerant religion there is.
Yeah. Well,
and Buddhism
isn't aggressive, is it?
No, Buddhism isn't. But there are some religions that are very aggressive and very angry towards other religions.
Right. Okay.
And not fair to women.
Okay. Betty, we appreciate it. Thanks for calling today.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay. According to the 2021 census, and it was the first one, the first census to specifically ask about religious beliefs in the Isle of Man, basically gave a clearer picture about the island's religious affiliations, 54.7% of the Isle of Man's population identified as Christian. 38.8% reported having no religious belief. So... basically, 55 out of 100 said they were Christian, 40 said they didn't have any religion. Times have changed. Times have changed. Certainly, if you went back 30, 40, 50, certainly 60 years, that would have been an awful lot higher. The Isle of Man used to be famous for the Braddon Church Sunday ceremonies during the 30,000 people sometimes at those ceremonies in Braddon. Times have changed, and how the government moves forward, and of course it's the government's responsibility. The curriculum is the Department of Education, Sport and Culture's business to do that. So do you think children should learn about a range of religions at school and not just concentrate on one? Currently, the Isle of Man's Education Act states religious education should be, quote, wholly or mainly of a broadly Christian character. And again, what does that mean? There's some new legislation currently making its way through Keys, which will change that. Now, the Education Minister is the Garth MHK, Daphne Kane, and she... well, explained about this. It's the Education Brackets Amendment Bill 2025.
The law as it stands was borrowed, I think, from UK legislation and goes back many decades. And it says that our religion had to be wholly or mainly of a broadly Christian character, when in fact we have REAC, the Religious Education Advisory Committee, who include many heads of RE and the Bishop and various other advisors from the department, who determine the syllabus that is taught within our schools. That, generally speaking, includes other religious beliefs and also non-religious philosophical beliefs as well. And generally, I think the schools are in a good place about the breadth. In our minds, it's more about religious literacy. It's not about promoting any particular religion. But actually, in a multi-faith, multicultural world, it is better fitting our young people for the world they're going to enter to have that breadth of knowledge of all faiths and none. And I think the wording actually works really well. There has been some advice from the Attorney Generals that the wholly or mainly of a broadly Christian character. So we have just amended it to say it must be broadly of a Christian character and may include other religions and non-philosophical beliefs.
And actually, that's in a world that appears to be becoming increasingly intolerant of other. Religious intolerance seems to be growing. Probably not a bad thing for children to learn about other religions.
Which they have always done. This, I should emphasise, this is reflecting what actually happens in our schools today. We can request as a department that REAC, the advisory committee, can review the syllabus that is offered from reception and the key stage one up to the exam years. But obviously in GCSE years, you'll be following a curriculum that comes from the exam board. And in the other years, it will be generally, I think there are the five main religions as well as the non-religious philosophical beliefs.
Merry Christmas from everyone at Doon School.
Does that
save 20% in the Loganair Tartan sale with promo code Tartan20. Book now at loganair.co.uk. TECs and exclusions apply, subject to availability.
This old house needed new windows. This old house needed a new door. And with DPM Conservatories, we got all that and more. Now our bills are lower and the house is warmer too. We're cleaner and we're greener since we swapped our old for new. Stunning A-plus rated replacement windows and doors, expertly fitted by DPM Conservatories. Phone 612 333 or find them on Facebook and swap your old for new.
The Morvenin offshore wind farm is more than just renewable energy. It is a commitment to future generations. Discover how we're helping the Isle of Man to transition to using green energy. Visit Orsted.im.
Concerned about your hearing? Get the support and help that you need with an expert hearing assessment free of charge at Island Hearing in Port Erin or Ramsey. With micro-suction wax removal available in our Port Erin clinic. Island Hearing have been your local hearing care specialists for over 15 years. So for friendly, professional help and advice, just call 830 722 or visit Island Hearing at 1 Station Road, Port Erin. Island Hearing, always listening.
Greetings from the North. No, not the North Pole. I'm enjoying a day out in Ramsey. I've found friendly pubs and eateries at the Garden Centre. Christmas trees, lights and decorations are sparkling. And as for shopping, well, let's just say that Mrs. Claus will love her prezi. Come and discover Ramsey's independent and exclusive shops for clothing, jewellery, electrical goods, handmade gifts and more. For Christmas, Ramsey has it all. Brought to you by WS Meseron. Proud to be in Ramsey.
There are two new bills progressing through the House of Keys at the moment. The Education Bill is a mere shadow of the bill which had previously been brought forward by the Education Department, but it will have a significant impact on homeschooling and children with additional educational needs. And do we really need a law to give women access to free period products? Find out an agenda this evening at 5:30 p.m. on Manx Radio with me, Phil Gawne. The Education Minister has taken her department back to school to produce the slimmer bill, but will the Keys give it 10 out of 10 or I see me after the lesson?
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Faster Mites, 20 to 1. Mary said, just out of interest, how many of the 40% of the Manx population who don't identify as having any religious belief celebrate Christmas? Well, that's the other question. Is Christmas a religious ceremony anymore? How many people who celebrate Christmas identify with the Christian story behind it? Can you name the three wise men? Jerry's with us now. Hi, Jerry.
Andy, does this mean now that because she's coming up with all this, that we're going to copy the UK in the sense that the Christian island that I know, the Isle of Man, it's going to be a multicultural society and a multicultural religious island like London, where they're now walking the streets and telling people not to sing Christmas carols because it hurts their religion. If it's a Christian family living on this island, they're living here because it's a Christian island. So why does somebody like her come along and say that their children have to learn more about what's going on in the world? That's down to the family. It's not down to her to dictate what these children need to learn. So I'm very disappointed. The quicker we have the election, the quicker she goes.
So what do you think is wrong about this then? The fact that she's talking about religious knowledge, if you like, religious literacy, she's calling it. Is that a bad thing?
Yes, it is a bad thing. I mean, just waking up, look at what's happening in the UK with all this multicultural society and beliefs. It's a disaster, absolutely a disaster. Yet she wants that to come onto this island. Why?
Well, I don't think she's specifically saying that. They're talking about religious education, which, to be quite honest, I think we've talked about many, many times, religious education has been substantially watered down over the years since then. So this is just another aspect of it. And I'm just, you know, that 2021 census, Jerry said, you know, only 55 out of 100 people identify as Christian. Does that surprise you?
Well, it do in a sense. I'm surprised on the island, of course, but there we are. It's down to the church to bring this island back in. It's down to the churches to bring these people back in. The trouble is there's too much information being put into children nowadays. Absolutely too much. It's down to the family to choose their own religion, which is fine, but suddenly you'll find that in a few years' time, because of this is getting taught in schools, children change their minds because they think another religion is better, and suddenly the island turns into Liverpool, Birmingham, Bradford, London. This is the only place I see at the moment in the British Isles. It is a Christian island. I don't want to see people telling me not to put my Christmas tree up because it offends their religion.
Well, I don't know whether you've noticed, but if you, whereabouts are you? Are you in Douglas, Jerry, or where are you?
No, I'm Belast.
Okay, well, in Douglas, we used to have Christmas lights that represented, you know, angels and Jesus and what have you.
Yes.
Now we've just got stars. There's nothing sacred about it at all. Now the Christmas lights aren't Christmas lights. They're what's called in the UK holiday lights or celebration lights.
Well, this is down to. Won't say the bad word. This is down to the people in the government and Douglas Council who don't want it. I used to walk down the promenade, see beautiful times. What's the matter with people? In the government, it's not the people on the island, it's the people down in Douglas or Onchan or Ramsey.
So
it's crazy.
So do you think the church, you said that it's down to the church to you know, get their message across. Do you think the church is less relevant than it used to be then, Jerry?
Yes, I think so. Years ago, you'd do some, you know, not always, but sometimes the minister or somebody in the church would call in on a Sunday just walking around the housing estates to say hello. And now you don't even see one anywhere. You know, there's nobody coming to your house anymore. I mean, if it wasn't for the Sunday programme, we would forget there's a church on this island. I listen to it every Sunday. Julie Slay, she's fantastic. I hope she doesn't want to decide to stop that.
Well, no, put it this way, Judith is very, very committed to that. I mean, it's a very well listened to programme as well. And it gets very, very good feedback. And of course, Judith herself is Judith's a lay preacher as well.
Yes, well, you see, if she's, you can see the way Daphne Kaye's talking about it, suddenly we'll find in a year's time that they don't want it on the radio because it's offending somebody who lives somewhere in the other part of the island. That's what I don't want to see on this island. We don't want anything to do with what's going on in the UK.
Right. Why do you
go anywhere in the world?
Why would politicians be afraid of offending people?
Well, they are. You can see that in the UK. Yeah, you can see the two-tier policing system. I mean, I only watched a bit the other night on YouTube. I understand it's not the best programs, but they were in London. The religious people were there shouting at people not to have the Christmas trees in the shop windows. And then Birmingham banned Christmas. Birmingham banned Christmas for singing in the streets and everywhere else. That's what we don't want here. If nobody believes in Jesus Christ, fine. Go on your way. But don't tell me not to put a Christmas tree up or sing a carol.
All right. Jerry, we appreciate your call.
That's the feeling. That's the feeling I'm getting from Daphne Kay.
Good to hear from you. Thanks, Jerry.
Okay, bye.
14
bye.
Minutes to one.
Merry Christmas from everyone at Skull Valley Geo.
I began to struggle with the stairs, but I didn't want to leave our family home. So my daughter told me about Acorn Stairlifts and their new showroom in Douglas. I was able to try the stairlifts and find the right one for me and the home I love. They were so friendly. The whole process was hassle-free and they offered the whole package from installation to servicing. Choose the island's first choice for stairlifts. Acorn Stairlifts, South Quay, Douglas.
Call Acorn Stairlifts now on 672 414 or call into our Douglas showroom.
Manx Memorials in Ballasalla will guide you when creating beautiful lasting memorials across the island. From a wide range of granite and marble headstones, custom inscriptions, expert renovations and pet memorials, adding care and compassion in every detail. We offer families peace of mind for years with perpetual grave care. We're there when you need them most. Call 843 861 or email matthew at manxmemorials.co.uk.
Enjoy festive magic, a Christmas sing-along, elf face painting delights, a Technicolor balloon artist, or Santa Claus with a ho-ho-ho. Yes, there's something for everyone on Santa's Party Train with a one-hour experience with plenty of entertainment and laughter. Family and friends, don't miss the Santa Party Train extravaganza of glorious fun. For dates in December and bookings, visit rail.im or call 662525.
Right, short Christmas ad, take one.
Yeah. Did you know, this Christmas, right, if you bundle your mobile and broadband plans together with Shaw, you can save hundreds of pounds. You'll also get an M&S voucher up to £200. And you can't argue with that, can you?
Sorry, you might have misheard me. They're looking for a plain voice, not a cane.
Make sure of your Christmas in store or online at Shaw.com. T's and C's apply, mind.
Coming soon, you could be a big winner with Manx Radio's Christmas Countdown. We've got some massive prizes up for grabs, including an overnight stay at the Welbeck, a real Christmas tree from Ramsey Garden Centre and IFGL, and a £100 fuel voucher from Ellen Vanin Fuels. Manx Radio's Christmas Countdown, your chance to win this festive season. And it all starts next Monday, the 8th of December.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
A note in from Mary, who just said, my husband and I went to Ramsey Town Hall three times last week to look at the plans to ruin our lovely quayside in Ramsey and to chat with the DIY. On each occasion, there was nobody there. One of the times my husband went down, there were two ladies, so we went to chat to them, only to find they were there to decorate the Christmas tree. So much for being able to discuss the plans, says Mary. A note in that just said, I phoned government officers about the MyCard continuation. I was informed I had to open a bank account. This is Texter 501, who said, I informed them I don't want a bank account and wasn't going to do anything against my will. The response was, what I wanted was not reason enough, and they would pass it to management to see if I fit the criteria for the continuation of a MyCard. They've absolutely no intention of offering an alternative. Dr. Allington seems determined to push this through, regardless of how it affects people with limited mobility, says this correspondent. Here's Chris with us now. Hi, Chris.
Oh, hi, Andy. Just two points. The one you've just made there, I'd like to comment on. I mean, if that is what Treasury people said to that lady, then they are being dogmatic and dictatorial and contradict the will of Timwald, and that would, to me, indicate the mindset of the minister. So that's poor. But what I really wanted to raise with you, it's the discussion that's been going on your programme with regard to religious education. Yeah. My concern is much more specific in the sense that I wouldn't want to see our legal system starting to be influenced by law emanating from other religions. Now, let me be specific. I'm talking about Sharia law. And when I raised this point with members of Timbald, when they were adopting, I think it was last month or the month before, they were adopting the UN Convention on the Rights of the Child. Now, on the face of it, that convention looks sort of, you know, motherhood, apple pie, and pink and fluffy. And how could one possibly be concerned about that? But if you, when I saw that coming up, I thought, well, I'd better read through behind the matter and read through the articles. And Article 20, Section 3, specifically says that consideration should be given to kafala Islamic law in relation to certain aspects relating to the care of a child. Now, I raised this with the members, in other words, Sharia law. And I raised this with members, and it was poo-hooed, it was brushed aside, and, you know, this isn't to do with us, this is related to nations and jurisdictions that actually operate under the auspices of Islamic law. But I made the point that Scotland adopted this convention, the UN convention, including the Sharia law references. They've now gone one step further and taken it into law. So, in fact, what they've done in Scotland is adopted elements of Sharia law. Now, Andy, we do that at our peril here, and there seems to be a disquiet on the island about talking about these things and somehow brushing them aside, saying they're not relevant to us. Well, you know, if we're not careful, if we take the other step, the next step on, and adopt the UN Convention for the Rights of the Child into law, then let me make it clear, we have adopted elements of Sharia law, and we do that at our peril. Okay, Andy.
Okay, we appreciate it, Chris. Thanks for calling today. A note in from Trevor Q said, Andy, the three wise men you were referring to are Alf Cannon, Alex Allinson, and Tim Johnston, says Trevor Q. Thank you. Of course, the three wise men, the biblical magi, Gaspar, Melchior, and Balthazar. And they're the and a note in regarding Christmas, and this says, I don't think there should be any religious instruction at schools. A general awareness and understanding of the main faiths in the world and a good understanding of theory of knowledge and philosophy is useful. If the children or their parents want to learn about a particular religion, it should be their own responsibility to find the appropriate church or place of worship, not the state. And Christmas was a pagan festival long before the Christians co-opted it. The Christian faith doesn't have a good history insofar as women are concerned. There were some witch trials. Thank you for that. That's WhatsApper 231. And to the previous caller from Palaf, nobody's saying that you can't celebrate Christmas. Birmingham, I think it was, wasn't it the Birmingham markets, the Christmas, something to do with the Christmas markets. Anyway, don't go to Birmingham anymore. You can't park anywhere in Birmingham. It costs you a fortune to even drive through it. There are angels in Ramsey, says Malcolm. Real angels or, you know, make-believe ones. Thanks also to contributors to your programme regarding for and against indoctrination of Christianity. On the other hand, what about our government's indoctrination through the climate literacy programme? That seems to be okay. You see, when you get to religion, people get touchy. I don't know whether you find. Do you think people now are a bit more reticent to talk about their religion? People were openly Christian years and years ago when people used to go to church an awful lot more. And I accept that people have less free time than they used to have, particularly on Sundays. But you just wonder. We'll see whether or not, I mean, put it this way. Of all the decorations in your house, have you got anything religious there? Have you got a nativity, an actual nativity? You know, Jesus and Mary and Joseph and the three wise men and the donkey. Have you got a religious? Does religion mean something to you at Christmas time? Do you feel infused with something sacred at Christmas, or is it just an excuse to have fun? Loads of messages I can't quite get to, but Paul said it's good to see the DOI on the promenade filling on the big pothole by the Crescent. At last, a bit of maintenance. I agree with Peter. The education people are tying themselves up in knots trying to avoid the fact that we're a Christian country. As far as I know, our laws and morals are based on Christian concepts. The children are going to be completely bemused by it all, says Liz. Same thing says Colin. This sounds like a lot of confused adults. Is it because they resented being taught when they were children, or are they just not thinking straight? Well, we're back tomorrow with another open line. Want to get in touch in the meantime? 682-631. And thanks to Michelle on the phones today.
WINT.